Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message in the name of Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep. Dear fellow redeemed. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life, lays down his life for the sheep. Sheep are almost entirely dependent upon their shepherd, and so it's important that they're dependable. I'm not an expert on animal husbandry in any form. But King David speaks of the relationship of the shepherd to his sheep in Psalm 23, which we sang. The shepherd has to lead his sheep into green pastures and must be sure to provide opportunities for the sheep to secure sufficient water. He has to protect the sheep from natural predators, because sheep don't have any natural defenses. They're easily harmed. Sometimes the shepherd has to prepare the pasture by removing noxious weeds or provide antidotes to health problems, flies, various forms of disease. Being a shepherd means being out in all kinds of weather and being watchful at all times of the day and night. It can't be easy, and we surmise that those who take up that profession must have some kind of love for the animals under their care. Well, what sheep is Jesus talking about? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Well, that means Jesus' sheep are those that follow him, that hear his word. We are the sheep of the good shepherd. Each of us, Canon did sing the children's hymn, I am Jesus, little lamb. And each one of us can say with the psalm writer, the Lord is my shepherd. Being a shepherd can't be easy, but it would be even harder if the shepherd doesn't love the sheep. If the shepherd doesn't have that love, he's not a good shepherd. In fact, Jesus talks about those shepherds when he speaks about the hireling. He doesn't own the sheep, the hireling. He doesn't have any vested interest in them. They're a means of profit for the hireling. And so if the hireling is confronted with a choice involving danger to himself and safety, or rather danger to the sheep and safety for himself, he'll choose himself. He'll flee to save himself. He'll allow the wolf to catch and scatter the sheep. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, what makes him good as opposed to the hireling? While the hireling flees at the first sign of danger, the good shepherd is not only willing to give up his life for his sheep, he says, I am laying down my life for the sheep. This picture speaks to the relationship that you and I have with Jesus. We are his sheep, and he's our good shepherd. We're like sheep in so many ways. Again, not a farmer or a rancher, but I know what Scripture says, Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We've sinned against God's holy law, choosing to disobey his commandments and resist his directives and his opportunities that he laid before us. And so we find ourselves judged by our own actions. And we find ourselves subject to a spiritual predator, Satan. By nature and by ourselves, we're helpless before his fangs, just like sheep are helpless in the face of the wolf. But in spite of our rebellious nature, our God loved us and sent his Son to be our good shepherd. Jesus came down all the way from heaven and assumed our human nature so that he could be close to us. And he didn't shy away from the predator, Satan. He confronted him personally in the wilderness, you'll remember, and overcame temptation. When confronted by Satan's minions, the demons, many times in his ministry, who controlled the minds and the lives of people, Jesus cast them out. When faced with the prospect of death in the defense of you and me, he chose to give up his life for us. And he did it willingly, going to the cross and suffering the anguish of hell to pay the price of our souls, so that our sins might be forgiven and our future secured. You know, there's no one who loves you like Jesus. Not your husband or your wife. Not your father or your mother. Not your son or daughter. No one loves you like Jesus loves you. No one else has ever chosen to leave the glory of heaven in order to become your brother besides Jesus. No one's ever chosen to suffer the punishment you deserve for every sin you've ever committed or will commit other than Jesus. No one's ever willingly given up their life for you so that you might have life not just here and now, but everlasting life in heaven, except for your brother Jesus. Now, if he gave up his life, if he laid it down, why should we follow him? Or maybe better, how can we follow him? How can we be sure that he gave us eternal life? Well, because Jesus is not just the man who laid down his life for us, he is also the good shepherd who took up his life again for the sheep. The text: for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The Father, of course, is the Father in heaven. The one true God of the Bible, the Lord of hosts, the first and the last, the only true God. And Jesus is the Son of that God, God himself, and true man in one person. He came down from heaven to become true man, and he is true man, and still is. But he never stopped being true God. And as true God, he has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and he received from his heavenly Father all power, and he received it even in his humanity. True God and true man, even during his 3 years of ministry on earth and his 33 or so year life here on earth. In fact, that was the final charge rendered against him by those who ultimately had him put to death. It seemed like Pilate was just going to scourge Jesus and let him go, that's what he wanted to do. His accusers cried out, "We have a law, and by this law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Now, either Jesus was lying, or he was insane. Someone to whom you should never listen. Either he was those two things, or he really was and is the Son of God. the resurrection miracle of Easter, demonstrates that Jesus wasn't delusional or insane, but rather the one that he claimed to be. The Apostle Paul, when addressing the Roman Christians, said, "God declared Jesus to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." From the words of our text, which was spoken before his death and resurrection, Jesus himself assures us that he didn't wait around in the grave for God to raise him from the dead. As the Son of God, he willingly laid down his life on Good Friday and took it back again on Easter Sunday. He himself had the power to lay it down and take it again. His whole purpose in coming into the world can be summarized with these words, which express his overwhelming power and his authority over all things. "I've come that you might have life and that you believers might have it more abundantly." Jesus speaks in our text about the wolf who wants to catch the sheep and scatter them. I think the wolf in our text could be any evil, but more specifically, it may well refer, of course, to the devil, Satan, and his evil minions want to strip you of this gift of life. And therefore, we need to stay close to the Good Shepherd so we can receive his protection. That was the message of the writer of the Hebrews, who spoke of the blessed rest Jesus is preparing for us, a rest which is eternal by the grace of God through Christ. A rest, the rest of heaven that we could lose if we don't listen to the voice of our Good Shepherd. Down through the ages, Satan has misled many people and deprived them of their eternal salvation. The writer to the Hebrews points out the example of an entire generation of Israelites who left Egypt in glory, but whose corpses littered the wilderness and did not make it into the promised land because they refused to listen. And he concludes this way. This is from Hebrews 4. "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." You and I will one day stand before God in judgment. And Satan would on that day condemn us for our many, many sins. Why should you stay close to the Good Shepherd? Because he, as the Son of God, has the power to give you eternal life today and on that last day. Nobody has the power to remove your sins other than Jesus. No one has the power and authority to defeat your greatest enemy, your enemies of death and the devil, other than Jesus. Nobody has the power to raise your body from the dust on the last day except for Jesus. No one is the way, the truth, and the life for you and for me other than Jesus. I am Jesus, little lamb. Each one of us here today can sing those words with deepest conviction. As his lambs, we don't need to fear about the present or the future. As his lambs, we're guaranteed that blessing now and throughout eternity. And as his lambs, we not only should, but will want to eagerly listen to his voice. Because he is the Good Shepherd. And because he is the Son of God. Amen. The same peace which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.